So may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. It's lovely to welcome visitors here this morning. Nice to have you with us for this special service. Sermons here don't take too long, so hopefully you won't get bored as I speak on a very difficult subject. And I suspect that if we were as a church today, back where the early Christians were when they were formulating the doctrine of the Trinity, we would have done it a bit differently. It certainly would have allowed us to fit in with one of the lovely illustrations that we often use to describe the Trinity, but which more often than not are simply illustrating a heresy in the church for which people over the centuries have been burned and killed. Because we have gone to war, we have burned people at the stake, slaughtered our fellow Christians over this simple doctrine of the Trinity, because it's not very simple. It's illogical. And every time you try to explain it, you fall into a terrible heresy. Arianism. Sabinianism. You might even have, if you wanted to think of it, let me give you a list of them. Modalism, subordinationism, deceitism. They sound like something which you need to go to the doctors for a course of antibiotics, don't they? But all these things have been no joke over the centuries because people have been killed for saying the wrong thing. Because the church wanted to have orthodoxy. And I'm sure that as you go out of church this morning, somebody will come up to me. Because they always do. Because I have actually preached on this rather a lot, Dr. Kappelman. Someone will come up to me as I leave church and they'll say, I actually have a very good one. And they'll give me an illustration. Somebody did this last year and they said it was like an elephant. And I thought, I wonder if I know where this one's going. It was slightly different. It was a twist on an old elephant. But they said it's like an elephant with three blind men. And the three blind men go out and they find the elephant. And one finds the tail. Said, the tail. That's what God is like. And another one finds the leg. They said, that's what God is like. Another one finds the ear and says, God is like the rushing wind. You see? Now, this is an old illustration. And it's often used by philosophers of religion to describe how, across the world, different people have different understandings of God. Because we all find a bit of God and try, you know, and if you had the whole picture, it would be all right. So they often say religions are like blind men who find God but don't see all of God. We've all got a piece of the truth. It's a twist on that one about God being like a mountain. There's different paths up it. Yeah, you've all heard of that one. The trouble is this. As Christians came to think who Jesus was, they understood that God was one, that God was creator, but they then had to explain how Jesus was also God. Because it was not as if they were like a blind man reaching out and finding an elephant. They said that in the life of Jesus, you had God living on earth. It was as if we had been healed of our blindness. And now we could see what God was really like. That's the problem that we have when we come to think about the Trinity. On the back of your order of service is a declaration of faith. We're very, very quickly going to look at it. And then when we say it, we'll understand a little bit about what we're saying with the Trinity, which is thoroughly illogical, but we hold these truths in common. So first of all, we believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. And we go on, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Now, it's very easy to understand that in a sense, because if you look across societies, from the beginning of humanity, from all creation, you see that they have all struggled to understand God. and have all felt as if they had a space in their lives which should have God in it. Every society has had its morality and its understanding of goodness, which it strives to understand. And as Christians, we believe that created order comes from God and morality comes from God. And societies across the world have all believed that there is a creator, because when you look at the wonder of creation and you look at its beauty, you cannot believe that it's all just fall into their place by accident. It's the old watchmaker theory that philosophers of religion have worked on. You walk along a beach, you find a watch, you don't say, oh, look what the sea has thrown up and brought together from bits of tut that it's found in the ocean. You say, there's a watchmaker. So you look at creation, you look at design, and it leads you to believe there's a creator. Now, that's been common across all the religions. And we can all appreciate that all religions, some of them much older than Christianity, have an understanding of who God is. And I can learn from other religions as much as other religions can learn from me. There is a lot that we can learn about our understanding of God and which we can share with one another, with our neighbours in faith. So understanding God, the creator, we can understand that. Then we come to our next bit. We believe in God the Son, who gave his life for us and calls all people from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. Now this is where Christianity is different from other religions. We remind ourselves that in the person of Jesus, we see God expressed in a scaled down version, if you like, what Wesley called contracted to a span. God in a way we can understand and see. And his teachings and his life show us what God is truly like. It's as if the scales have fallen off our eyes. And then thirdly, we believe in the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We are called by him from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, a kingdom of priests to serve our God. We think of the Holy Spirit, and we're reminded that the Christian faith isn't like a religious studies lesson. It's not like studying RE. God is not to be just studied and learned about. The Christian faith is about knowing and feeling the love of God. In English, the Holy Spirit has been called the Comforter, but it's a misleading word. The Holy Spirit doesn't comfort. That's a very bad translation. Comfortore in Latin means to strengthen. And in Greek, the word is parakletos, which means somebody who stands by you. And those titles are both good ones, because the Spirit stands by you and strengthens you. And yes, makes you face uncomfortable situations. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so the Spirit moves amongst the people and assures us in our being that we are God's and that God loves us. So we have to hold together these three things. And the Trinity is our way of doing it. Knowing that God is the God who created all this that we have in this world. Jesus is God revealed to us in human form. But these are not just things to be known. They're things to know in our hearts, not just our minds, as we experience the love of God. And I'm going to finish this morning just by reminding you of those words in Matthew's Gospel, which finished off our New Testament readings. Matthew finishes his Gospel with this promise, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us now, in our struggles and our worries and our confusion, as we pray that he'll be with Alex throughout his coming life. Whatever each one of us faces, Jesus is with us. And the doctrine of the Trinity is something which is not only true, but which we can know for ourselves to be true as we know to be God to be with each one of us. So today is an invitation to know more deeply this promise to be true in your life and to challenge yourself to live knowing that God is alongside you in all that you do. And so may we all know one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.